All right, it's 5:32, I think, August 17th, 2022, and I'd like to call the Board of Water Commissioners regular monthly meeting to order. Commissioner Horsley is here, as am I, Commissioner Hoppenstedt. I also have Superintendent Wiseman and Office Manager Nash. There are no members of the public right now, so I guess we won't have any public comment, but if somebody shows up, we'll surely invite their participation. And we expect Commissioner Robinson momentarily, and so maybe right now we can just take a look at the meeting minutes from July 20th, regular meeting. Get through that.
I would move we approve.
Second that. Looks good to me. Any questions? Minutes. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the July 20th meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Mark wouldn't have been able to help with these anyway. Jen, do you want that? Who wants that?
We have another lien warrant to sign for reference.
Okay. Great. All right, do we want to jump into the water quality report?
Sure, we could do that.
Or is there anything we can take care of with Mark not here, because he might want to be part of the water quality report. What do we need to do with the lien list? Are we at the point where we're going to send that over?
Yes, that will be submitted to the town.
I can give you my regular report.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Save the
water
quality.
Go to water quality after that. Sure. I'm going to give you the July report written on today, August 17th, 2022. In July of 2021, we pumped 32,641,000 gallons of water. In July of 2022, we pumped 41,514,000 gallons of water, for an increase of 8,873,000. We were down about a little over 5 million last month. Kind of attributed to, we had about a third of an inch of rain in July, and last year we had just under 2 inches of rain, so I think a lot more people watered, watered a little more this July. We did put out a voluntary conservation restriction, but it's voluntary. We can't enforce it. Yeah. We did have no new services put in, but we did have one replacement service over on Main Street to it. Actually, one that we were trying to do last winter, towards the fall, and she had to leave. She wanted to be there, so she didn't do it until she came back in July, and we did it then. A little bit about our well that we usually get our water management permit runs off of, the USGS over by the high school, I think it is. We're still barely between the 25th and 50th percentile like we were last month, but I believe it's like 25.90 is the last number, like 29 feet, 90, you know, 0.9 inches to below ground water level. We're at like 25.72 or something like that right now that it's going off of. Hasn't been in, you know, below the 25th yet, but it's getting close. It's getting real close. And without the rain that we were expecting last night, they're talking about a couple days next. You can't rely on any of the weather reports right now. Everything gets blown one way or the other at Cape Cod, it seems, right now. So we're going to keep our eye on that. The only thing that I have to find out is that on September 1st, they're going to stop using that website, and it's going to be going and switching to something else. If I can't find it, I'm going to call Tom up because he'll know where to find it right away. So we'll go from there once that happens. But I'm just letting you know we're quite around the area where we might start to drop below the 25th by next month, unless we get some significant rainfall.
Does that then trigger a mandatory water restriction?
It could send us into it. The mandatory would have to be, we have a temporary water management permit. It's still has to be finalized. It's never been finalized in the last 20-something years that we've been doing it, because there was mitigation done that they accepted some of and they didn't accept others. And then they told us to do something. We sent it to them. They said, yeah, we're not going to accept that now. The state trying to figure out what they want to do. They want us to pump station 5 less because it could have effects on Santua River, they believe. Santua River is a little further away than most places, but we said, you know, we'll see what we can do. We'll pump it less. We don't pump it to its full 12,000 gallons. We pump it around 800, you know, so we've actually already done our due diligence for that. But there's a few other things that we have to try to make up some points on, I guess they call it. But we have to be like 60 days underneath that for our terms to take effect. So right now, we're not underneath anything or below where we should be for the time limit. So what might happen is if the drought happens again, they go into level 3. Level 3 says no outside watering at all. But another thing is the drought management, everybody says, sorry, but we strongly suggest you don't do that. It's really not enforced by anybody. You can't really enforce it. All you can do is say, hey, you know, we say don't. We don't want you to. We really need your help here. Until we get something that's mandatory, we're kind of messed in a way. We are in a level 2 drought now. I don't know if you guys all know. They did last week beginning. So we did order some, put it out on our website and on Facebook. Last time we sent out at every door direct, a lot of people didn't receive them in town. I don't know if it's the mail system or what, but we paid over $1,000 basically for partial mailings. As a matter of fact, the woman sitting at the very end of this didn't get one in her own house, and she lives almost, you know, 10 houses down from the post office. They could have tossed one from there probably. Mm. But we did order some stuff for the signs to place over the voluntary to put on level 1 when it's in level 1, level 2 when it's in level 2, so that these signs that are out will have them on there. Level 2 restrictions are in effect. So that's going to be there. We're waiting on those. I ordered them from Lugene today. There is a incentive program that's been going around for a few years. I was approached by Rise Engineering, and they like to take out your quick starting valve motors that, you know, when you go to start up the motor, they put a high demand right away to start up them 40 horsepower motors. Through Eversource, there is like a reimbursement fund going around that we could get 4 of them changed. It would cost, they would put brand new motors on them, which none of them are real old, but they have to put the motor on for it to happen to match up, I guess, with the VFD that they put in. So it comes up real slow, gradually comes up, then gradually goes down, so you don't get that demand charge, because I guess when it goes up to a demand charge, that's what they charge your electric rate at. And I've got it's an email in here, I think. It would be $100,000 to have it changed out, and Eversource would pay $87,750 to do it. It would cost us basically $12,250. And it would be roughly, they're estimating a savings of about $16,000 a year in electricity costs.
Sounds like a good investment.
It does. The only problem is I don't think I have $12,500 to throw out there right now, so I would have to either ask to go to either a special district meeting to get something like that. And if there's something going on, if somebody needs something, it might be the time to piggyback onto something like that and think about it. I don't have to do it right away, I don't think. I just got the email today at like 2 o'clock, so I didn't get a chance to talk to the gentleman again, find out what the limits are on it. But I'll definitely keep on it and bring something a little more to you next month. That's what I have to find out. I have to find out if it's a reimbursement, like with the SRF or something like that, where you have to pay up front. We would have to bring 100 to get 88 put back in. You know, where would you get the 100? So, yeah, I don't know if that is or not. I have to find out if it's just totally done through. I've been told that Comm did it, and I give Greg a call over there, and he could tell me. They basically did it for nothing, I was told, on a lot of their stations. So I'll have to ask him and see what the results were and everything else. But I would save the motor, a couple of the motors, if I could, and save the motors themselves, because there's nothing wrong with the motors. And it'd be good to have a spare, because like what's just happened to me last time, I had 100 horsepower that went. I don't have a spare 100 horsepower, and we almost happened to rent one for $1,200 a week. But we got lucky when I bought it. Talking to the guy, he ended up giving us to free, have him one in his garage or whatever, you know, back at his shop. And he said, because you're buying it off me, because you're promising this, I'll let you use it for nothing, and we'll replace it. We ended up using it for about 3-4 weeks, but we got lucky. But that would be, if the pumps themselves would stay where they are. It's just, it would be something in the electric panel that would change, and it would just be a slow starting motor instead of a quick acting burst. Yeah.
Sounds like something we should definitely pursue. Huh?
I get nervous because they don't last very, very long, like a real long, long, long time. But like we have a VFD in Station 5. I think we've replaced the front panel twice and the VFD itself once. But that's been since 1996. I don't think some of the motors we have lasted. That's just another thing to have in there. It's another maintenance problem thing, also continuous maintenance and everything. But they're only about $300 per station to have them looked at and cleaned out once a year, vacuumed out, and make sure that they stay nice. As long as they're done, you ought to be able to get 10 years out of them, 8 to 10 years. And if I buy a spare later on, plan on one of the district meetings coming up, we don't have anything, maybe buying a spare one, keeping it down dry in one of the stations, and having it on the shelf so that if something does break, we don't have to wait on any kind of problem. Like right now, they have I think it's a 4 to 10 month delivery period on them. So this, even if we sign it now and do it, it might not get done for a year and a half. So that's something to look. That's what I'm saying. Something to start and look at and see what we can do. The last thing I have on here is our newest employee. John has passed his T2, T4, excuse me, T4, which is as high as you can go.
All right.
So he's if he was not in training, if he was full, he could be hired over in Mashpee to run their treatment plant without a bit of training. Yeah, that's all it takes. But yeah, it's he kept going. He figured he had everything and he had the classes that he needed and. He took them quick enough so that the same information was just about on everything. So everything was fresh in his mind and went from there, which is not a lot nicer now. When I was younger, you had the class come up once a year and the test come up once a year, and that's all you could do.
Good for him. Congratulations, yeah. John. Don't go to Mashpee.
And that concludes that report.
So we haven't gone over the Commissioner Robinson's now joined us, and we just skipped into the superintendent's report. We're going to go back through the water quality. moved on, but hopefully nothing too interesting for you. If you'd like to go back over any of the superintendent's numbers, we did pump higher volume last month than the prior year.
Yeah, 8,873,000 mark more this month. I mean, in July than last year, which we had a third of an inch of rain this year in July, and 2 inches less July the year before. So it kind of attributes a little bit to that, at least.
Yeah. So probably people figured, oh, we're out of the drought.
Yeah.
Turn the water off.
Yeah.
Save some money.
Who knows? I guess what I'm questioning is, we still can't tell whether we think that rate increase is less of a factor for the dryness and the irrigation or the price of costs.
Suspect there's a little lag time between when people realize this and when they think about, let's put a well in, reach out, get a contractor. This all takes time, so it could be easily a year. You know, they wait until next season, so it could be a year or two before we start seeing more conversions, I would think.
But these yellow bars on the next page, uses for gallons.
Yep. Which is. Oh, it's pretty. If you put the numbers for precipitation over the summer months is at the top. So I just wrote the numbers on mine so you could see. And it's clearly related to the amount of rainfall, but it looks like 2018 and 21 was about the same pumping and about the same rainfall. Back in 19, we had a lot of rain. Of course, it was a lot less pumping. 20 was kind of curious because we had the least amount of rain and considerably less pumping. That was peak COVID. But I don't know why COVID would cause less irrigation, because I would think more people would be here that summer. So I haven't really figured that one out. But it does look like it's rainfall driven for the most part.
what is this precip?
I think that's the bottom line,
right? And that's why the interesting thing here is we're pumping. I mean, we're pumping about the same amount of water. We're making more than twice as much money, and nobody's going out without water. So I think that's pretty good news. And it'd be nice if the pumping went down a little bit. But
it would be. What is the precipitation data here? What are those units?
And that's for
inches for June, July, and August. I was trying to figure out how to make the line go.
I just wrote them.
June, July, and August.
Precipitation is for 3 months, for the summer irrigating season, basically.
So it's just, so these are totals for a three-month period.
Yep.
Inches,
thank you.
And, you know, actually, it's interesting. If you multiply these numbers times four, you get annual rainfall, because our precipitation here is pretty evenly distributed throughout the year. So it's interesting, only one of these years, 2019, was close to normal. That would be 40. Yeah, exactly. So that comes out to 44. But these other ones,
46.
Right, yeah, 46. You know, so we've, the last three of the last 4 years, we've had, you know, less rainfall. Now, everything I'm hearing about, one of the questions we got last night was about climate change, how it's affecting things. And what I'm hearing is, you know, less, same amount of rainfall annually, more intense storms, and less in the summer is what I'm hearing. And that, you know, we're seeing 3 or 4 years of below average. So this year, certainly.
Right. And I think just anecdotally, it seems like we are getting a lot less rainfall in the summer months.
So, you know,
so those really wouldn't correlate with.
We've had a significant downfall in snow also. I can tell you right now, the amount of overtime for putting out plowing Yes, it's been so much less in the last 3 years than before. I mean, we used to have so much more snow than we do now, and that's when we get our best, you know, ground saturation.
Like recharge, yeah.
I mean, if this is true that we're getting less rainfall in the summer, that means even if we don't increase population here, our irrigation is going to continue to grow unless we do something about it. Honestly, I almost think that maybe we should reconsider the high end of the rates once again and make it, I mean, it's better than it was, but it's not a huge penalty, I don't think, or a disincentive.
We thought it was because the numbers seem so much higher, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not effective. It's not creating less.
And speaking with Phil Oden was here last night, and I've been talking to him about, because he did put an irrigation well.
His mic closer.
His well was actually more expensive than we thought, so it may be that the return on investment for a private well is not quite as quick as we thought it was. Given, I mean, everybody's prices have gone up, contractors, right? So I'm sure drillers are up there too. So maybe we need more of a incentive or disincentive to get more people onto private wells. I suspect the best way to do that is raise the rates. Some people are going to pay. We're never going to get them. But we're going to get some people.
Well, we could do a more concerted effort with outreach as well. Just let people know that, look, I'm hitting the mark here. Raise the rates, and in-ground irrigation systems are still over and above.
Do we think that the in-ground systems are more related to new construction, which we don't have that much of, or people with new lawns or new need to irrigate old lawns?
When I interviewed the guys in the irrigation business, one of the first things they told me is there is a lot of business. A lot of people put these systems into existing homes. I mean, the technology's gotten so good that it's really quite, you know, easy to use. Therefore, it makes people's lives a little bit easier, and I understand why people want to do it.
Well, we heard from one of the residents who said, you know, I'm getting too old and infirm to move my hose around the yard all day. I want an in-ground system. Yeah. And that, you know, we are an aging population, so that might be other people, too.
Well, we have a lot of new homes.
I mean, across the street from my old house there, 670 Main around there, when they rehabbed that house, the little Cape house.
Yeah, they put a well in and put a new...
But they did put irrigation.
Oh, yeah, they did put an irrigation.
Which they never had before.
No. And yeah, they stuck the well to put it in because they had told them at the time, Paul Boyington did that over there for them. And he came to us and said, you know, are you guys going to be doing... I said, it's going to happen. And there were two different houses he was building, and he said, we're going to put the irrigation in. We're not going to hook it up to anything and wait till you guys make your decision whether they have to drop a well or not. So, and they put a well in. The person that was there said, this is kind of a win-win. I'm going to put the well in anyways. And it's like exactly to the left of the guy's front step. They were so close to the house, I didn't even know how they could do it. But that's how they've been putting them. They've been putting them right where it comes out of the house, right beside there, so there's hardly any piping that has to be done.
Near the septic system. As far away from the septic system as possible.
Right.
So I do have a couple, two observations. One, some of the larger bills that we have sent out, I've gotten Marco requests, oh yeah, we're putting in a well. So I have seen it happen actively on some of our larger accounts. The other observation is some of those larger bills are paid by corporations or trusts.
I had a landowner in Truro one time, as the son of a celebrity. And I said, you know, you could put a conservation restriction on all this land and really reduce your property tax. You're getting hammered. You got all sorts of road frontage here. He says, oh, the lawyer in L.A. pays those bills. he didn't even know what it was. It was like,
we get taxed.
$20,000 a year back
then. We pay taxes? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a young kid. But
I think that you might see a little, as Jen said, we're seeing a lot more people call now putting in wells.
And there's a waiting list.
Yeah, and yeah, they're on a waiting. That's like Tom said when he called, when we were talking about it last meeting. People said, I have an estimate and I have it scheduled. I can't meet your demands, he said, because they can't get here for so many days till after. So that's how backed up they are, too, right now. The well companies have patted us on the back and saying, thank you, you're keeping us in business.
Yeah. Like I said, I think there is a lag time here. Everybody's super busy. Trying to get contractors is really tough as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some progress over the next year.
Yeah.
Well, and meanwhile, we're raking in the money for the district.
Yeah. And you know, I would suggest that we consider maybe at some point just have put it on the schedule to talk about water rights. And
you're supposed to review them actually every couple of years, I believe.
So
yes.
At least we'll have a time. I don't know when we do that, but maybe in the spring or next summer we review it and see where we're at, just so we don't forget about this.
I saw a water bill for a comm user, just a single woman living alone. Their rates are so low now.
So low.
Compared to ours.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
And they used to be so much higher than ours.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have additional fees. Did you see the fees associated with their system or just the water?
Just the water. Just the tiers, I saw.
Systems operation fee.
Right.
They're also not serving Kootenai water.
Well, it tastes pretty good, I'll tell you that.
How do you know, Mark?
It's okay.
I spend nights in that district.
Let's move on. I'm sure we have another meeting.
Yeah.
Let's go to the water quality.
Yeah. All right, water quality. All samples for for bacteria were free and clear during July. There is a copy of the July sodium results. And they're all in there. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. They're pretty similar to last month.
What?
To last month.
But they're all above.
Some of them, yeah. Some of them are exactly the same. You know. So your average here, let's see, for our raw, was 21, 22, 17, 20.
Chris, yeah. I had suggested, I think, the last meeting that we reach out to Bruce, and I think you did do that.
Yep, I did.
So what's the status?
I did talk to Bruce, and he said, I said, is there something we could do about, you know, even homeowners, you know, telling them, you know, what's going on, letting them be aware of what's happening? And he basically said, homeowners are such a minimal part of your problem that it doesn't matter. It's all about road salt. It's all about, you know, stuff like that. He says the only way and best way, and he's done projects on this, and he's willing to come down and either talk to us or go on a Zoom meeting. You petition your town or your and the state to put GPS in their plows, and in certain areas, it lowers the amount of salt that's coming out of the trucks, and in certain areas, like on sharp corners, it picks it up a little more. In the different areas where they need it, it does it. He says you can do it. He says he did it for a town off Cape that was using, I think he said, 50 ton of salt a year, and he knocked it down to 20 with the GPS that were on there. They knocked it down over half of what that was used in certain areas. He said there are alternatives out there you can use, but then you're getting into different things also.
I tell you, as somebody who drives behind them occasionally, you see half of it bouncing off into the woods. woods.
Well, that's what I said to him. He says, you and I have seen before the guy at the stop sign, and it's just going at the stop sign as he's waiting at the red light. He says, and everything's just in the same area. You got a big circle going. He says, they should have these things on there anyways. He says, a lot of places don't because they hire out and get people in, but they can write it into the specs to hire the people. You have to have this unit on there. This GPS unit that will go back and forth. So he's willing to talk to us about it a little more. And he says, you know, he has sat in on meetings and talked and stuff like that before on it. But he did also mention to me that, and Scott had mentioned, I did talk to Scott about this a little yesterday. I think it was with his students. We've talked about Stratford Ponds a couple times. And they found out, I think, through the students that did the area over there when they were doing the source water protection, that Stratford Ponds has a low salt restriction already on there. They had to when they pulled the building permit to do the, that was something they wrote into it because it was in the zone two.
Who's enforcing that?
Right. Hopefully the town of Mashpee. Yeah.
I'm sure town of Mashpee has other things to do.
I don't know who they have, but they must have a private company come in. I don't believe it's a town building, and if it is open to the town, I think it was, is that First Property Management that runs that place in there? I have the two. Somebody Willits, I think, was the gentleman's name that I talked to before. We have sent him the letters and asked him to please make sure that everybody does.
Well, I don't think it'd be a Bruce. When we talked to Bruce and worked with him, he did say that was one of the areas he has a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So I guess I, for one, would, you know, think it might not be a bad idea to get him back just for part of it, if he'll do it during Zoom or something.
Yeah, just to talk to us on one meeting. I don't know when we plan on going back, if we do plan on going back to Zoom in the wintertime or something like that. But he'd love to sit in on a meeting at one point, yeah.
You know, it would be instructive with these test results. Go back. Way back, but take a 10-year period and do an average per station as opposed to per date.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, this station sure 5, which you're talking about, is the one closest
the
to Stratford.
Right.
It's definitely always the highest, and it's been high since 2013 or 12. It's been above 20 since 2010. So I don't know, I just think that would be an interesting way to look at it, too. Because everything, you know, prior to 2010, everything looked pretty good. It was definitely way up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you reach out to it. It's a neighborhood association, right?
We have sent out letters to them.
We did do that. Any response, or?
No, they just sent them to their management companies and so they could bring up their association meetings. I think someone did mention to me that they did bring it up at the Catua Meadows one, but I don't know about Stratford Ponds, whether it would take knowing somebody over in Mashpee to see, you know, if they enforce anything on it.
Pretty difficult thing to enforce.
Yeah.
It's not a great length of road over there. That access, the cul-de-sac, it's not very long.
For
Stratford
Ponds is a big area.
I guess I've never driven out.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, if you look on Google Earth one time, you can see it goes all over the place in there. They have, I'd say probably 70 condos in there. They got quite a few condos.
Some of these elements really overdo it with the salt things because the one only thing in mind is they want that stuff to melt as fast as possible as people step out, you know.
Right.
And that's the only consideration.
You don't know about the landscaping
company. It's not that expensive.
Yeah. So. The landscaping companies that are in there during the winter shoveling out and doing them walks, every single walk, because I'm sure it's, you know, they're getting paid to make it clean and they want to get back there.
They're not our ratepayers in there, are they?
Yeah, we'd have to send that to the town of Mashpee too. Yeah. Send it over to them, you know, even maybe if we went over. They don't get water from us at all, right? They get it from, I think they get it from Mashpee Water. Yeah, because they run through our property. We gave them an easement to run through our property. They had to feed them. Closest well, I think, is, I think they have one between the rotary and us. I'm not sure exactly where it is. It might be down by,
Willowbend.
Yeah, one by Willowbend's been someplace, yeah.
I'll look for their CCR.
Yeah, see what they have. Brian used to bring that in. We haven't had one in a while, yeah. We just sampled on the first again, so we'll have hopefully results again by the next meeting and everything and see. But, you know, it's as Mark had stated, you know, it might take 6 months before we see it. You know, we're seeing probably now what was put on last winter,
yeah.
You know, at different places. And then it might start going down. We'll be like, whoa, it's going away. Then it'll be back again as soon as you stop pumping. So.
Well, I did reach out to the state.
You don't need to ask.
Is the Stop and Shop in our zone too? They probably sold that big part.
Yeah, it's not. They. I don't know if they hit the outside edge of our zone two or not. I don't believe so, but I'd have to look again.
Yeah, it kind of depends on where all their stormwater is.
I know where the piles of snow go, right. And what comes out of them sometimes when it's melting, you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Where
did all the storm drains leave?
Well, they have a treatment facility there, but I don't know if it's for the storm water or is it just for the Stop and Shop itself. They do, that's one of Jessica Grissetti's husband's places. Kyle put that in. He also did Stratford Ponds in the beginning. I did get the results from the last PFAS sampling that we did, and our levels are still below 10 at each station. So now I'm awaiting the state. We just received them last week. I'm sure it'll be another month or two before the state gets to me. He's so backed up over there, but I'll make a phone call if I can before the next meeting to see if he's reviewed anything and seeing what he wants us to do. What will be entitled or have to do, and what if we do that's over and above is over and above at that point, but at least we'll find out what we're going to have mandated. Yes,
Chris. It looks like number one is the one that's consistently showing the higher number. Remind me again, the main well field left to right on the map.
I have a map right back here. Let me get it for you.
Hold on.
That's a great idea, Mark. What's the number?
So if you ride your bike through the well field, yeah.
So if you ride 214.
Yeah, it goes 214 heading towards.
So one's in the middle. Okay.
Yeah, which is it's actually one of the shallower wells. I don't know if I've been told PFAS kind of sits on top a little more.
Number two is in the middle.
Number one's in the middle.
One's in the middle. That's the one. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
That's
a great idea. idea.
See, our zone doesn't go all the way over, right?
Too bad you didn't put the river on there.
So, yeah, and that's always been our highest for some reason.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, you know, there's no typical or classic sources in industry or firefighting there. It does come, you know, we talked to Tom Cambrieri, it can come from septic systems, you know,
yeah,
small quantities. And there is some hope that we could pick stuff like that up and treatment that with some of the technologies we're looking at. I don't know that yet, but some of the results are showing removal of quite a few organics, which this is, so.
Do we salt the access road in the well field?
Did we do what with it?
Salt it.
I have only done that once, and it was with the lightest salt we could, almost all sand. I had the guy bring me, I said, can you just bring me sand? He said, I have a pile. He said that Mike had some left over in the truck when he did it. And I said, just bring me sand. And that's one year when we had it so frozen that we couldn't get out of the pumping stations. I had to sand the roads going up and down just so we could get in and out. They were starting
some
to slide
out. Some of those
out.
Are very steep.
Yeah. Well, usually we end up getting out and digging holes on the side of the road through the snow and throwing dirt out in there to get up and down.
There's like a horse farm in there or something, right, along Sampson's Mill Road?
There is one way down on the, almost onto Little River. As a matter of fact, wouldn't be surprised if it backs up to it.
What's over there?
I don't know if there's any horses in there now. I know the woman that owned it. Didn't she pass? I know that the one up top doesn't have anything in it, but there was a second one down that little road where the pipe sticks out.
And which is the well that lined up with the printing place we were talking about, the pile of stuff?
Is that would probably be two.
Yeah, one and two, yeah, just about, yeah.
Now, one is the one that's really down in the hole, right?
Yeah, yeah. When you're going to two, you can see it down the hole.
Yeah.
Four is the one that's furthest to the power lines, and two is the one with the sand pit.
I mean, these numbers are
two is the one we see Mark walk by through the sand pit with his dog all the time.
I mean, 9.3
on video.
9.3 is half of the standard, right?
By the way, you don't use a leash all the time.
You know, maybe when Tom Cambrieri's doing his mapping,
yep,
refining the flow conditions, he could give this a little more thought.
Yeah, I can mention it to him and everything
why,
else. Yeah.
You know, why is number one potentially showing higher? He could take a look at what's in line with that and see if we can come up with at least some theory. Because it does look like it's, you know, pretty different.
Right.
And we are, these numbers, the 9 is half of the standard, half of the MCL, right, 20?
Yeah, and it, with this right here, we might be doing tests once or twice a year, yeah, right now again. If it was above 10, we'd have to do it every quarter still.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just that station, or if it would be anything around it or what, but I'll find out from okay. The state.
That's the station number,
what?
Above
10 is not. Right. That's what I've been told. That's what I've read. Whether anything's changed with the new rulings, I don't know. I mean, but now it's 0.002, which they don't have the capabilities to test to. So they've made the EPA has made a suggestion that we can't even do. Nobody can. Well, I think it has to do with flow. I can't say that because now it's 6.5, but. That must have been, yeah, I was in there with my my waterproof slickers, yeah. Yeah. And that's probably what I asked him that. I said, if I have to test, you know, once a year more, I said, are you going to make me test where I had the time of month that it was the highest period? He says, of course we are. So that would be when I would be testing in January probably. Yeah, three's down the center of town. You would think that's in the middle of all them septic systems. Yeah. You know, you would think that that would be the one that would have it all, you know, and five is way over underneath Stratford Ponds, but Stratford Ponds has a treatment plant. Maybe they treat it with salt, and it gets rid of the PFAS, but it gives us sodium. That's me. That's what I have.
How's the scuba diving? Good.
I just received the report yesterday. Everything looks good in there, but there is quite a bit of dust, sludge in there, yeah. And a little bit of, you know, and blackening on the walls and everything. So I got to get back to them and find out exactly how much sludge, because for some reason, I don't know if I don't have the right Adobe to download something there, but I have to call them and find out how much it'll cost to suck out the sludge, go in there and vacuum it out. It's so much per 3 inches, and the guy said, oh, there's more than 3 inches in there. I said, okay.
3 inches on the bottom.
Yeah, like that one of the guys says it was right up to the stop, which means that's about 2 foot. So it's got to be pumped out, either that or drained and cleaned, which I'd have to do in the wintertime. And it's just a matter of, can I have that guy go in there and do it without draining it? Saving us the water, you know, wasting the water and having it done, or does it have to be drained and done? Depends how much I'll be, how much it'll cost.
This guy's scuba suit probably has PFAS in it. Here's a dumb question. Next time we build a tank, can we use a double-hulled wall?
That would be nice. That would be smart.
So we don't get the
sweat,
the slime on the outside.
Well, the guy pulled up to do the stuff, and he goes, boy, it looks like you've got a problem here. All the water's running down the side, and it's going in the back. And he said, how old is this tank? He says, it has a leak in it. And I said, I don't think it has a leak in it. I said, it's just sweating because we're running all the time, the water. No, it shouldn't be sweating that much. And I went down later in the day. He goes, you're right, that's just sweating. He said, that's coming from, you can see on the outside where it's coming through and into this point, and it's coming right down. And he says, that's amazing.
During the heat.
Yeah.
Can we get somebody to do some, the oil tank up in Boston?
Yeah.
Carita did the famous painting on the oil tank. Get somebody to do some sort of a painting where this would blend in.
There's one down in South Carolina that's painted like a T with the golf ball divots on the top.
I think I've seen that.
There's one that's a peach down in Georgia. They have a peach painted on one and everything. There's a whole bunch of them.
We could have
it looks like a garland. Green, black, and
brown. Like, you could have ours stitched like a baseball.
There you go.
Then we could have the Cavaliers
painted. Yeah.
And maybe the fluid center for the ice. I could put their little C on it.
Could be a ballet dancer.
Nope, we're good.
Sure, I'll give you a quick update. So again, maybe I can help address both of these at the same time, so because they're related. So Tom Camberry is under contract. He's been traveling a little bit recently and whatnot, but I suspect he'll make some progress on this soon. And maybe we can try to get him on the agenda for next month. His first step is to do the inventory of what wells are out there, and then recommend putting in some more wells if we need them, which I think we will, and then refine those flow conditions. When we met last night, we talked a fair amount about this potential idea of putting in some upgraded septics, and as I was mentioning earlier, there was a lot of support. It's a reasonable idea. Mark, one woman sitting here, she put her hand up. She said, she was looking at my map, and she said, I live right there. Just not far from 689 Main, there at number three. And she said, you know, happy to help. How do we do this? And, you know, whatever. So people seem to be.
Right.
But I told them we want to get the flow conditions nailed down first, because if we're going to invest money, we want to make sure we're going to the right place. So that's what Tom's up to. And hopefully we can get that done over the next 3-4 months. The other interesting thing is today I attended this ARPA funding workshop. And so this is money that came from the Recovery Act originally for COVID, but they broadened it out, and water quality, wastewater are a big part of this. And as I listened to the hour-long program, it became evident to me that we would be a really good potential candidate here. Unlike other grant programs that are restricted to municipalities, this one's open to nonprofits. One of the bullets was water districts. I think that qualifies us. Fire districts and even private entities can apply here. So it's pretty open. It's up to $500,000, so it's not a ton of money. But they're looking for innovative technologies that deal with water, wastewater issues, and are transferable to other areas. So I think this is something we, and I do have a one-pager here. If people want to look, there's a web link here if you want to look at the application process. The dates are on here too. What they're looking for is a letter of interest by September 30th, so we have time. They provide more specifics on what that letter of interest has to have in it. My sense is it's like a 5 or 6 or 7 page letter outlining what we might want to do, but I think it might be something for us to consider to get some funding for this if we want to do it. So if the commissioners are interested, I'm happy to, again, take the lead on looking into this a little bit further and see what it would take to put this grant out, the letter of interest together, which I don't think would be a heavy lift. What they do is they look at the letters of interest and they make a first cut and they qualify you to submit a full proposal, which I think is due in, I think, November. Does that say? I don't think I get that on this handout. And then the awards would be for spring of 23. I don't know, much like Chris's discussion about the other program, whether or not we need to appropriate money to match it or up front. I didn't hear any of that, so maybe not. Maybe this is strictly a grant, which would be pretty nice.
I think it could be used for Tom's work.
Could be used for Tom's work, yep. Yep, and actually that's a good point. I think if you can get reimbursed for work already done since the COVID. They also, one of the other criteria is economically challenged areas, and we're pretty general about that. So this neighborhood that we're talking about might qualify for that. And something else, I can't remember. The other couple of the criteria just sounded like it might be pretty applicable. So it might be worth pursuing.
For 5,000.
Sounds good.
500,000.
Oh, 500,000.
500,000. 500K. Oh. So that would, if the number that I'm using for cost per system is 35,000. So that would find, you know, 12, 13, 15 of these, which would be, we're talking about doing, you know, a few per year. I keep counting the numbers in all of those contributing areas. It looks like it might be 50, 60, 70, 80 in that range. So a good first chunk, 15 or 20, might be enough to, you know, see a difference.
It's an application, if anything, you know.
It's a one-time, last time, funny money.
Right, you know? Exactly.
And if you're going to do something innovative, why not use somebody else's?
Get our hands in the pot, right?
Yeah.
So I'll look into it further, then, and report back on what we really have to do.
I don't know if there's anything else to report in the source water thing. I mean, I'm really focusing on those septic systems as a, you know, as a specific goal. We're going to, as you may remember, we did postpone trying to go for funding, which I think was a good idea, but before we know it, it will be time to start talking about a budget request. And maybe we could match, if we get this grant, we could match it or something. But I think that's kind of my game plan, is to think through the fall and winter about how we would approach this thing, all the questions we started talking about before, about like this woman who asked, my system's in there, do we subsidize her? Do we pay for it 100%? Those are questions that we're going to have to figure out answers to, and it might be kind of up to us to make that recommendation. So I don't know how we do that other than just talk about it, but we want to probably keep it. Well, there's nothing like a grant application to force hard thinking.
True.
Because you're making a pitch. Yeah. So the question is, who's going to write that grant application? The letter of intent's probably not that hard, but the grant application for $500,000 might be very hard.
Yeah,
Anybody, I mean, I could get, yeah, there's plenty out there that are every day coming to me asking me to, hey, you want grant money? And let's see if we can get you grant money. Yeah.
Or maybe help from, what's his name, Brian?
And the other possibility,
rural district.
It could be Jennifer Logans, who talked to us on the web once, who's been doing the program for the Vice Clean Water Coalition. To my knowledge, she's done a pretty darn good job there.
Yeah.
Working with homeowners, you know, figuring out how to do this.
See what.
She might be able to help with the grant.
Yeah, she had talked about a 50-50, I think it was, or something like that they were doing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, I would think the pitch to the grant maker, in this case, I guess it's the county, is that, you know, we're doing innovative stuff at the base, we're doing in the ground innovative stuff in Marston's Mills, Shules Pond, but it's not directly affecting a well field.
Right.
Like we would be directly affecting a small public water supply.
Yep.
Which you really could impact because it is a small enough area with limited amounts of development.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have the test results to show why the counts need to be brought down.
So I will pursue the letter of intent, and maybe we'll just keep this on the agenda, and maybe in the fall we'll be fortunate enough to get shortlisted. We'll have to talk about how we put the full proposal together, which I'm guessing would be probably in November.
Yeah. I think we have plenty left this year.
Two. Yeah, I could ask someone to get in there and do it. If you need an application put in or anything like that, yeah, that shouldn't be a problem.
It's part of engineering money, really.
Right, we have engineering money there for it.
Right. Any idea
to
So who's going to write the letter first letter?
I'll volunteer to head that up and bring that as a draft. I know others that are editing the outreach piece.
Yeah, I loved it.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Well, on to the outreach piece. Mark, I think I have some amazing edits to the first draft that I had made. And good to me. I'm going to have to get something out there.
Do we have another mailing going out soon? When's the next billing? So this would go on letterhead and signed by you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to see that. So this incorporates.
Is accepting.
Huh? Okay. up top it talks about septic systems, though, as non-point sources.
Yeah, just because they do contribute sodium.
True.
Right? Probably, like Bruce is telling us, not as much as
they do.
Road salts.
Right. Yeah. Is this Stratford Bridge in Stratford Ponds development?
Yeah, that's what I proposed. So those parentheses there are what we need. I just need to have development names so I can take a ride around.
Yeah, that's in Mashpee, so I don't know if it really doesn't matter. If this is going to be going out to everybody in Kootuit, I don't think anybody will get in that Stratford Pond area.
Bring it to me.
Yeah. Stratford Ponds area, you could say, yeah.
The Narrows and Screecham Road, that's an actual, there's a name for that.
Yeah, I think the names are all.
So they go by, they're all.
Narrow Circle is Little River Estates.
Which one?
Little River Estates.
Yeah.
It's called Archibald Place, isn't it?
Oh, not, Kootuit.
That's the Narrows and Screecham.
Yeah, that's Kootuit Place.
Kootuit Place?
I'll have to look. I'll get the actual look for you. I have it as written in. I think it's Kootuit Place.
It was built by Archibald.
And Pheasant Hill and everything, that's Kootuit Meadows. Yep, Mariner Circle, and that was, what did we say?
Little River Estates.
Little River Estates, yeah. But I think it's Kootuit Place. I'll have to look again.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, into the currents, yeah.
Or and/or digital distributions. And then, Jen, if you can send it to Justin, I'll get the email.
Teresa Egan is the contact with Kootuit Currents. She usually emails me and says, deadline, you got any contact?
Yeah.
I think it should be on the letterhead, and I think you should sign it.
Letterhead is not.
If we're going to print it on paper, maybe we don't, just like, I think we want to break up this paragraph's kind of long.
The last one?
I think just break it into two paragraphs somewhere that makes sense. People don't read long paragraphs. In fact, the one up above, the third one, is probably too long. Break that. It says when it says one particular pollutant, that could be a new paragraph, even though it's just a few sentences. And maybe it should be dear Kootuit water customers. But it's a good letter. It's got a lot of good information in it. People like to know what can I do while you're telling them what they can do. If we're being told it's a minor part, it's still something they can do.
That's probably your point. It's not how can I help.
Good deal.
On that last paragraph, do we want to include, we want
All right. I did have a conversation with Mark Boudreau and Rich Sandman for about half an hour one day. Mark was going to make it, but had something come up, couldn't do it at the time, so we still had decided to go through and have the meeting anyways. I'll read you the email that Mark gave to me, Mark Boudreau. He said, it was a pleasure speaking with Attorney Rich Sandman regarding the possibility of joining the PFAS litigation. As you remember, the firm helped the district several years ago in a lawsuit against MTBE, etc. I do not see any downside to joining the litigation. The law firm will pay for the costs and take any matter on as a contingency basis. He says, it seems to me like a win-win for the district. So it's a free thing. It's not going to cost us anything. I asked him specifically if there's going to be some more testing that has to be done. He says it'll be at our expense with our guys. So it shouldn't cost us anything except maybe just of what information we have now sent to them. I did find out, though, while I was there, that that's one of probably 3 to 4 to 5 different lawsuits that are out there. And he believes that in the long run, they're all going to merge together. He says it's just, he says, I'm approaching you because we've done work with you before, we've used these people before, and you guys have confidence in us. So in the meantime, that one that I was talking about with Mass Waterworks Association, Mass Rural Waterworks, it's a different one. Barnstable Fire District is the lead on another one. So there's like, they're in, there's Napoli, I think is the name of the one they're out of. This one is Sandman with Bud and Bud out of New York also. So it's a matter of which one you want to jump on, but he believes in the end, everybody's going to come in together.
And this is the firm that the town of Barnstable signed up with?
Correct. He says Hyannis is also in there, yeah. Yes. And so is in Chatham, I believe. I did send out a flyer to everybody, and he's actually had others sign in. Yes, Sandwich. As a matter of fact, Mark Boudreau's brother represents Sandwich, and he also had a meeting with the guy year before. So he was highly recommended on it also. So I do have an agreement here. The only problem is I don't know if you sign this or if we have the Prudential Committee sign this. I've got a question out to Mark now. I sent him an email, asked him to let me know, just to look over the legal agreement to make sure it looks pretty standard to me, but I wanted him to look it over to make sure everything's okay, and actually asked him, I said, and who should be signing it? So once I find out if you guys agree to it and want to do it, I'll let you know, and somebody's going to have to come in, whether it be all three of you or just one of you. I believe the MTB was just the chairman of the board, or actually maybe all three commissioners signed it. And it had nothing to do with, they had to turn the money over to the district afterwards, but it was because we had the information and everything else, and it went through the water department to get that.
So the only reason not to do it is if you think that the Kootuat Fire District is going to file its own lawsuit, get its own settlement, which I don't think is appropriate.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, I think if we have experience with this firm, MBTE, and that worked out for us. The town of Barnstable's already signed on. Presumably they've done some diligence. And I would recommend that we do it.
So moved.
So we have a motion.
Second.
Seconded. Sign on to the lawsuit.
And as soon as I hear from Mark, and I'll call him out physically on the phone tomorrow morning and talk to him and see if he had a chance to review it. I'll let you know. Correct. So, yeah, I think you still need to make a motion and vote on it and everything else, but that sounds good to me. Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Done.
Okay, we have a lien list.
Last but not least.
More.
So we had a good
move that we endorse and approve the lien list dated August 17th, 2022, on behalf of the district.
I'll second that. Just a quick question before if I may. Some of these are pretty small, $50, $40. Just wondering what the implication is for the person being leaned on here in terms of their cost of removing the lien. I've never been involved in this. Is that a pretty significant burden?
I don't even think some of these people know that there's a lien. I think it's put on their tax bill, and they pay it when they pay their taxes every year.
So, yes, it's a little amount of money, but they've been notified several times.
Yeah, we've paid six to 12.
What does it take if I get
you want to go down and ask Steve Gould to pay his bill? Come on, how many times have you asked him, right?
Oh, really? I don't want to pick on one person.
Any of them. They get all of their bills in the year. They get two certified bills. And particularly in that case, that's the owner of the building, not the person running the business.
Right.
So I can't contact the business. I have to contact the owner of the building, who may or may not be responsible. But it doesn't cost anything for them to remove the building.
It doesn't. That's right. So it's not, we're not putting like a $2,000 legal thing on there.
No.
Okay.
No, that it just gets added to their real estate tax bill, and once it's collected.
Okay. All right, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. That answers my question.
Discharge is recorded in the registry by the town.
Anyway,
yeah, it's part of their title.
Yeah.
That's the hammer that we have.
No further questions.
Pay their bill.
Chairman, I'm going to need to fly because I have another meeting at 7 at home.
Is the 21st okay for you for the next meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
21st of September.
I think the next third Wednesday in September will be the 21st. Motion.
Need a motion.
To adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
At 6:48.
Adjourn.